We're going to carry on with our series in Malachi, and tonight we're going to be going into Malachi chapter 4. And I'm actually going to pull us towards the end and the final words of Malachi. There is so much more we could actually spend quite a bit of time on Malachi. Due to time, we're a little bit limited in the series. And so I want to jump towards the end. But it's been an interesting journey as we go through Malachi. We are reminded of this is in Malachi chapter 1, and I highlighted it last week, was, "I have loved you, says the Lord." And just this reminder of, no matter what happened with the Israelites, no matter what they had gone through or done, whether they'd been in exile, whether they returned back to Jerusalem, no matter what, God's love was consistent. No matter what they had done, He loved them. And as we go through the journey in Malachi, we realize that the people are back, they're in the land, but they are bitter. And they are so far from the Lord. They are serving Him with half-heartedly. And they've moved away from Him. They've started to twist things and they've tried to just get away with the bare minimum. Yet God starts this letter off with, "I have loved you." He has remained consistent in who He is. He has retained the covenant, kept the covenant, despite what the people have done. And He brings us and we get this future hope, as we spoke about last week, is that it's the fact that it's talking about Christ's return coming. That God was going to carry on through His promise. The story and fulfillment of His promises was going to take place. Why? Not because of what the people had done, but because He loved them. And I pray in our message as we've gone through Malachi that we're reminded of this. Is that no matter where we've been through, no matter what we've gone through, whether we feel distant from the Lord at the moment or we feel close from Him, to be reminded of His love. His love was not based in us, but based in who He is. And so we come to the end in chapter 4, and it says final words, and I think of the movies and different movies as halftime speech comes along. What would that speech be? What would be the motivation? Realize that this is the old book and this would be the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This would be about a period of going into a period of silence of 400 years. So what would that final message be to the people? And we see this in verses 4 through to 6. This reminder of the final message that God is saying here to His people. I highlighted in the first sermon was the focus that you see often in Malachi. It's actually the Lord talking. You'll see the inverted commas so many times where we don't know too much about the prophet of Malachi because we just see this word, this message from the Lord through His prophet. And so I want to pick up from verse 4. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standardized Version tonight. "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules that I have commanded him at Horeb for all of Israel. Behold, I have sent you Elijah the prophet before the great and the awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Let us pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your word and we pray that You would speak to us tonight. Just reveal and help us to understand more of You. So we pray in Your name. Amen. I want to tackle this text in a number of ways. We could go ahead and deal when talking about the Elijah, who exactly, and last week we spoke a little bit in chapter 3 about Elijah, John the Baptist being there, but we could see a second who Elijah would be preparing the way for the Messiah, and we see this highlight that comes along here. But I don't want to do that. I want to focus on rather a past tense here, and a future tense, and a present tense. And I've broken up the points in this way. So firstly, we need to learn from the past. The final words to us is to remind us to learn from the past. Verse 4, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and the rules I have commanded at Horeb for Israel. We're told here that they are to remember the law, to cling to the law. This remember, this word here, is actually a call to action. It's not just that, oh, do you remember that time that I pulled a prank on Jess? Okay. Oh, do you remember that? Or do you remember when this happened? I was going through something scary. I was looking at illustrations for the lesson this morning. And I thought of the time when in the World Cup in 2010, when they had the octopus decide who was going to win. And I thought, no, I'm going to use this illustration about in James about how we've tamed wild animals. And I realized that the teenagers would have been six years old and 7 years old when that happened. Now, remember that. It's not just a remembering here, but remember with a call to action. It's the reminder of what I need to do. It is that to-do list. It's that I need to action this. I need to carry on with this. So to remember the law. Now, we know that salvation for us is not in us fulfilling the law, because Christ has fulfilled the law. That we come to salvation through a faith in Jesus Christ. But it's for us a reminder of His covenant. The fact that God has kept His covenant no matter what. That He has kept His promise no matter what. It is the reminder of the past, of God's faithfulness. And I want to encourage you. Have you ever doubted sometimes that you don't feel that God has got a direction for your life, or you're at a place saying, God, what's going on? Be in the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Because it is full of God's faithfulness. We see God in action. Remember, this is what we're told. Remember, hold on to, apply, cling to the law. Hold to it. Hold fast. Deuteronomy 6 from verse 4 says this from the NIV. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. These commands I give you today, and they are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Remember the law. Cling to the Scriptures. See, God's word is to be not just in our hearts. It's to be in our actions. It's to impact the next generation, to impress them on our children. It's to be on our very thoughts. It's to be on our tied on our hands and our very actions and the things we do. It's to be on the door frames, on the gates. It's to be in our coming and it's to be in our going. The Word of God should be so important to us. Cling to the law. Do we hold God's word as the full authority above all? What I find in modern age, and I am very grateful for Google, because when I don't know something, okay, I simply just go to Google. All right. The old days, I'd have to go to a library and then find an encyclopedia and all that kind of thing. That took forever. Now I just go to Google, and it's amazing how I just believe what Google says. All right, as the authority, you know, Wikipedia knows it all. And we cling to it as authority. But yet we treat God's word as sometimes just another book. Does it have authority in our life? As the full authority. As the word of God, the living word of God. Cling to it. So when you are going through a period of silence, if you think about the people who are going to go through a period of 400 years of silence, not hearing from God, what's God's message to them? Hold to this. Hold to me when you're going through a time where you don't really are aware of God's presence. Cling to the Word. when life is hard and they see a change in nations, the Persian Empire going and the Roman Empire coming, cling to the Word of God. No matter where you go, cling to the Word of God. We need to learn from what God has given us. Learn from the past. Make God's Word the final authority in your life. The one that we live to, look to, dwell in, that impresses on the next generation to come. Cling, remember to the Word of God. Secondly, we need to live in the present. We need to live in the present. Verse 6 says this, and then he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. This word here, turn, means repent. A removal, a 180 degree turn, a moving into the correct direction. But what does this mean by between the hearts of the fathers and the hearts of the children coming together? Well, there's a lot of debate around this. Some view that this is referring to past fathers, Father Abraham and Jacob and Moses, and that the people would restore their ways back to them and follow the laws and be in obedience towards how God, how they related to the Lord and how they followed the Lord. That so this next generation would too follow. It could mean that. It could also mean that there's a relationship being restored. We see that God is in a basis of restoring relationships. There's absolute brokenness here. We've seen in the passages about divorce and what was happening. Is that fathers were divorcing, husbands were divorcing wives and kind of just removing the children away and marrying foreign wives. And we see this hardship that is taking place. And maybe God is saying here that he's restoring those relationships, that they'll come through here. Maybe it's talking in a generation that has become hardened-hearted. Fathers that have become so hardened-hearted towards their kids. And don't we see this in society today? You go to restaurants and you watch how kids have just been thrown into play centers while the parents are sitting on cell phones. We see that parents have become so absent with their children. And we see the abuse that's going on with children or just the lack of involvement that's taking place. I was challenged this week when my daughter turned around and said, "No, I'm packing my school bag because I've got a lot of work to do at school today." Because she's heard me saying, "My girl, I'll play with you a little bit later. I've got lots of work to do today." And this absence that's going. Or a rebellious generation, kids that have rejected the teachings of the parents or rejected parents and are acting out in absolute rebellion. Maybe God is saying, restore this. Maybe he's also saying here, this fatherly heart, a generation that have had hardened hearts towards him. The parents that have had a hardened hearts and instead of obeying the law, they've watered it down to as little as possible. And God is saying, restore to me, come back to me in this. And the impact that it has in the next generation who's looking up to their parents, who will restore, coming back to Christ here. I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want to read verses 1 and 3, and it says this, "These are the commands and the decrees of the Lord your God directed me to teach you and observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God with as long as you live. You keep by keeping the decrees and the commands I give you, so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, your ancestors, promised you." The verse there, may you fear the Lord your God as long as you live. By how? By keeping all his decrees. We see God restores this land when what? They focus back on getting to the heart of God. Connecting with him again. Clinging to him again. May God restore. We impact the next generation. How? By fearing God. By keeping His decrees. That will have an impact on the next generation to come. God restores this relationship that is broken. We once, with hardened hearts, were disobedient children to Him. But with an absolute loving heart, God turned to us. God came to us through Christ. And we are called to turn to Him. Turn to Him. Get back to Him. Are you distant from Him? Are you living with a hardened heart at the moment? Turn back to God. Then lastly, we need to look to the future. We need to look to the future. Verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. It's talking about end times, that Christ is going to return. But notice a number of things from here. It's talking about the day of the Lord. Have you ever had that saying, this is my day? Carpe diem, seize the day. The day of the Lord. That it's Christ. He owns it. This means absolute victory. Victory in Christ. He's going to return victorious. King of kings, Lord of lords, He will return for us. And those who know Him celebrate in that victory. We fall under with Him because of who He is and what He's done. How incredible is that? That our future hope, no matter what we go through, no matter what this country goes through, no matter what we experience, we can cling into a future hope that Christ is going to return. And He returns victorious. It's the day of the Lord. But we also see through this absolute God's mercy. He uses the word behold. The NIV says see. Behold. This is a focus on grabbing attention. Focus on this. See this. Behold this. Look at this. Study this. What's He saying? Study this. And He talks about Elijah's ministry here, the prophet that comes before the great day. He's talking about the preparing of the way. The prophet Elijah, his ministry was about repentance in a time that the Israelites were so caught up with idolatry, so caught up, misled. And he was talking about this repentance. Come, know Christ, know God. Return to God, return to Him. And it's talking about the fact that Christ's mercy is here. Is that no one should perish, but that all would come to know Him before the great day. That God's mercy has continuously been and is to be displayed continuously. What does this mean to us? Well, one is absolute celebration in the fact that Christ returns victorious. But it also means to us that we are called to witness. We are called to witness and display the glory of God. The Israelites were to turn around in that 400 years and to be a nation that displayed who God was. That He was their King. We are called to display who Christ is through our lives. How do we do this? Well, I want to get back to the beginning. Remember the law. Cling to God. Cling to Him. Cling to Him with all your hearts. Seek Him with everything that you have so that we may witness, be a witness of His mercy and His grace in all where we go in this time. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You. We thank You for this prophet. We thank You for this book. But that what this book really reveals is Your greater plan that You are going to send Christ always. That You were working through a nation, through a family, through a tribe, through a family, to bring Your Son that before creation was even laid, you knew that you were going to send your Son for us. When our hearts were hardened against you, you still chose to send your Son. May we turn to you. May we fall in love with your word. Not because we have to, but because we desire to. Because we want to. May we cling to it as of all authority. May it be in all that we do. All that we are. And Lord, as we get to journey in your word and as we learn more about you, may we display who you are through our lives. May we witness to others before your great day. We pray this in your name. Amen.